Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for February the 11th, 2016. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Here.
Spranger? Gallagher.
The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is the responsibility of the board to interpret the city's zoning ordinance as they apply to special uses and variances. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and visit the site in question and usually comes prepared to vote on the item. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes of the December 10th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Could I have a motion to approve the annual report for the 2015 Board of Adjustment meetings?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. We have election of officers. Is there any choice you folks would like to make?
I move that we appoint or elect Norm as our president or chairman for the ensuing year.
I'll second that motion.
And the motion is second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. The board to hold a public hearing on the following items. Case 16-001 at 5382 Clemens Road. It's an A1 district. A request for a special use permit to allow a 150-foot radio transmission tower submitted by Brian Porter. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is highlighted with the yellow highlight on the display. The site is accessed off of Monk's Road by turning onto Clemens Road and then proceeding into the site. The applicant is requesting a special use to allow a radio transmission tower that is one of the enumerated special uses in the A1 agricultural district. The site that's being requested is approximately 80 feet from the side property line, 130 feet from the nearest structure on site, and 175 feet from the nearest structure off site. Setbacks for the A1 are all 50 foot. It's 50 foot front, side, rear, so it does meet the required setbacks. I just received this afternoon. This is the actual construction plans for the type of structure that's being requested. I would characterize this as like a flagpole type design for this tower. Tower will be encased with the footing and have to follow all of those engineering guidelines. The actual antenna array that will be on top of the tower is the circular type of antenna that's being displayed there. There are numerous towers in agricultural districts throughout the city. Perhaps the most well-known is what people refer to as the Tower Farm near the intersection of Middle Road and Devil's Glen Road, where there are numerous broadcast radio towers. Just recently, another cellular tower went in at First Baptist Church. There are nine standards that must be evaluated when evaluating a special use. I won't go over each one of those that's in your report for you. One of the standards I think that's going to have the greatest discussion here this evening with not only you but perhaps people who are here is the impact on neighboring properties for this request. Staff encouraged the applicants to hold a neighborhood meeting to discuss this with the neighbors, to let them know what was going on, where it was going on, what type of structure it would be. I don't think a neighborhood meeting took place. We even assisted by supplying some labels to get letters out to the neighbors. I don't know if they received letters from the applicant or not. So I think that's a item that when originally the report was written, we made assumptions that there was some connection with the surrounding neighborhoods. I don't know if that connection was made. I don't believe there was a meeting with the neighborhood. I, and I believe all of you, have received three letters of objection. The one is from Carol and Tom Likely. Their property is located here, the tower located down here. The other letter of the objection is from Tim and Michelle McLennan, and their property is here in relationship to the tower. And then you also received a letter of from Mr. Jeff Seitz, who is the president of Advanced Homes. He is the developer of that entire area that is surrounded with the yellow line and its relationship to the tower as well. Mr. Seitz wanted to make it clear in his letter that he did support the radio station, but did have objection to where the tower was being requested. I believe that summarizes the request before you and the timeline of what has occurred during this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address?
In favor, right?
In favor, yes, please.
In favor.
In yeah. favor of it.
No, sorry. Only paying half attention to you. Podium's over here.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Brian Porter. I am the one that submitted the application. So we did receive the labels from the city of Bettendorf in order to make contact with the community. We did generate a community notice letter and send it out, I think, a week ago tomorrow. So we tried to. It was a very quick application situation. We're under sort of a tight deadline with FCC. The FCC has approved our construction permit, and the location and the height of that tower has already been approved by the FCC. So in support of it, we are trying to make the least amount of impact upon the community here. We've tried to choose a location that is as hidden as possible and the type of tower that's hidden as possible. So that's why we chose a Musco lighting tower. It's about 24 inches at the base, and it tapers down to 7 inches in diameter at the top. It's basically what you see at any stadium for lighting. In this case, the lighting will not be up there. It'll be a very small antenna bay, they call them. It'll be two of those bays that you saw in that picture right there, about 5 feet apart. Ordinarily, these are very small, about an inch and a quarter in diameter stock that's kind of bent in a circle. So it's a very small element. It's actually hard to see when you look up. We also are placing it within, if you look over to the overview of the property, in the close-up of the actual placement of the tower right here, we're trying to place it right next to the existing structure that's embedded in a group of trees. So in doing that, we're going to really hide the first 70 feet, 80 feet, 90 feet, depending on your perspective. Right here. So there's a whole group of trees within that whole set, and we're trying to place it right next to the existing house. The house will be torn down as specified by the city. So that's one of the conclusions we got with our meeting. Other than that, this is a very low power station. It's analogous to a ham radio. It's 250 watts, a very small power compared to the 30,000 watts, 60,000, 100,000 watt stations that are nearby. This is very much designed by the FCC to serve the community, a small community. And that's why the placement of the tower is so sensitive, because the power is so small, it only radiuses out a certain distance. And to serve that community, we have to be within that footprint of that community. Bigger stations can be outside north of I-80 and still serve the community, or we cannot. We have to be within the city limits. And there are several of these in the city right now. We have currently a tower next to West High School, and it is buried in a residential area, and it is shorter tower, but the city, we worked with the city to make it as hidden as possible to the view of the rest of the residents. Most people don't even know it's there. In this case, we're really trying to make that visual impact as small as possible by coming up with this design, more expensive design. The other designs could be truss work or guy wire type towers, which we really didn't want to have as a design. Other than that, we want to serve the community. This is based, these low power FM stations are to serve the community and in ways they're not being served currently. This is a Catholic radio station that is not getting any service for this community besides in Western Davenport. It's a nationally broadcast programming, 24/7 operations. It is to reach out to the community in a certain way, and that's what the FCC designed it to do. Other than that, the franchises have agreed to put this on their property. They wanted to help serve as well. They're generous to offer that placement of this tower. There's variability in the tower. 150 feet is the tallest that the FCC has allowed us to go with the license they give us. It can be a little bit smaller. It could be anywhere between 130 and 150 feet. That's the long and short of this story. We're a small operation, and we don't generate a whole lot of money. There's not a lot of power involved here, and it just kind of sits there and works. Had no complaints on the Davenport station at all. It gets along with the community very well. And that's all I have to say.
You have a lease with this occupant of this home and that?
No, we do not have a lease. That we will pursue one after an agreement is made.
If something happens, if this tenant or this owner sells at some future time, this lease or this agreement would have to be part of that consideration, I would believe.
We agree with you. We will pursue it. These things are kind of fast moving here, so we're trying to get our approvals first. If we see approvals, then we'll pursue the lease.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
I do have a copy of the community notice I'd like to submit to the board.
Just a minute, sir. Someone wants to ask a question to Mr.
Porter. Just one quick question.
Sure.
Is there any other, are there any other facilities that would ever go on this tower?
No, it's a single-use tower. It can't be designed for anything heavy at all. Because it's so small, it can only take so much wind load up there. And we made it as thin as possible, engineered to produce the smallest, really light array. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's an antenna array. We did pursue going on the existing towers in the area. And there were not feasible. Some didn't want to entertain it at all because of the smallness of our entity, and some were just too exorbitant. We're not a commercial operation. We're not for profit.
Okay.
And I can't give you the submittal we did for the neighborhood here.
Okay. Now, anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request, please state your name and address, please.
Jim Roberts, 5257 South Richmond Circle, Bettendorf. I have some questions for the gentleman that is talking about putting up the tower. Number one, why don't you increase the wattage at your existing tower in Davenport?
The FCC precludes that. These are what we call LPFM licenses, and they were given about 10 years ago to a lot of folks in the area, and they were just to give enough watts to broadcast to a small community, to service the community. The FCC has an engineered map of all frequencies in the United States, and it's like a puzzle piece. Our same frequency is also used in many places among the United States, and it has to fit within a certain range. So if your power is bigger, you're going to appear with the same frequency as located in Chicago or New York or somewhere like that. So these were designed to be very small,
but you're moving one over. You want to put one in Bettendorf that's going to be more power and taller. Why wouldn't you just make the Davenport one taller and more power? It's the same broadcast number, correct?
No, it's not. It's called a translator. So we have that frequency over there, West Davenport. It reaches past Gray Street and somewhere between Brady and I-74. But if you listen to it, it's a very scrambled signal between Brady and I-74. It'll drop off or not get at all or get that signal. So what this translator does, we're taking the same exact programming that comes out of that station, it broadcasts over to this tower, and it just regurgitates us out in the same. It is more powerful, it is taller. It will reach further out.
Okay, next question. Why don't you go into the tower farm, whatever you call that?
We attempted to. The tower apparently is very full of other companies, for one, and they didn't want to even entertain us. For two, it's just very exorbitant for prices to do that.
Okay.
Unreasonably exorbitant.
All right, third. In your letter, it says that the first two bases would be at tree level. So I'm trying to figure out how many, but the tree, I was over there today and looked, and where you're going, the tree looks like it's 30, 40 feet tall.
I don't know what they really
So, which means even if it's 50 feet tall, it means it's going to stick 100 feet up over the top of the tree,
yeah,
or trees.
It will stick above the trees a certain level, and that's why as a tree person,
okay, because of the height and where it's at, does it have to have lights?
No, it does not.
What's the...
I think it's 200 feet.
Okay. All right. And I guess I'm looking at it from where I am, and I'm kind of across the ditch and over in Windham, and the base of the ground level is equal probably to the top of my roof. Which means this thing's going to stick 150 feet up in the air above my rooftop, mm-hmm. which is going to be like a big sore thumb sticking up there. Even if you tell me it's a small little tower, it's still going to...
It's still visible. I won't deny it. It's going to be visible. We try to make it invisible as possible by as small a diameter towers we can get, no guy wires, make it blend in. But you will see it. I won't deny it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got... You don't see any towers from where we're at, so this would be the first tower that we're looking at. Then,
yeah.
You know,
that's why we really try to get this thing as narrow as possible. And not to say that if we look at 150 feet, and if it was 140, 130 feet, that looks better along there. I think we're entertaining that. We have license for 150 feet, so we can come down a little bit.
What about when you showed that map? Earlier with the tower front, there it is. Couldn't work out something with the First Baptist Church to go alongside or near their tower?
Yeah, that's the first thing we want to do is to try to get with an organization like that to put a tower on their tower. Two things are placement, just the footprint of where it is and where it's to serve, and two, out the height of where you're putting the tower. And the tower itself, whether it can be a support almost like this.
So you found somebody with high ground.
High ground was very effective. Any tower, we want to be in high ground. Some of these cell towers won't make it at all for liability reasons. Some will, but they're exorbitant in what they want to charge per month. About $1,500 a month. For a small, non-for-profit organization, it's a very small signal.
Okay, well, I'm still not in favor of it. So.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address?
My name is Paul Kanikaris. I live at 3590 Park Avenue. I would be on the property that's directly south of the property that's directly east of the tower. And I object on the grounds that I think it's going to be an eyesore. It's going to be something I'm going to see when I look out my back door every day, and I really don't want to see it. This right now is a view of looking out my back door. And I've tried to be as accurate as I could with scale. This is what it's going to look like with the tower in my backyard. It's something you can't miss it. I can see the whole tower from top to bottom with the location they're going to put it at. And even from the front of my house, you can see it sticks up a long way above my house, even looking from the front of it.
He has another one there, John.
Okay. It's kind of hard to miss that.
That seems a bit wider than 2 feet.
Like I said, I tried to be as accurate as I could to scale, and so.
I think it would be thinner than that for sure, but you felt that kind of placement would be roughly and about that height. A 7-inch diameter, when you're looking at that far away, is pretty small.
But well, it was a rush job. I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare it. And I guess I'm curious, you're talking about trying to reach out to the community. It seems to me radio transmission is still prevalent, but it's going to the wayside, and people are going to streaming audio online. And I know the content that you're going to be broadcasting is already streaming online. I don't know why that isn't sufficient. I mean, for the money you're going to spend on this, you could advertise your online content and probably get more people to listen to it than you'll get with this tower. That's speculation, but... Okay, I guess I have one more comment that I'd like to make, and that has to do with the location of it being high ground. The reason it's high ground is when the owners purchased that land, they brought in a lot of excavating equipment and really changed the topography of the ground, and the high point was something that was built up in the last 10 years, and I question the integrity of the ground and the ability of it to withstand the horizontal forces that are going to be applied to the tower when the wind blows. I think that's something that should be checked on. And I realize it's going to be deep in the ground, but the upper level is what it's deep because it needs the entire depth, not just what's deep. It needs from top to bottom. So I'm questioning that. So
The tower will be engineered and make sure, you know, for the appropriate safety factors. There should not be any concern there. It'll be appropriately addressed.
That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
My name is Bill Menard. I live at 905 Park Avenue. I'm the mayor of the city of Panorama Park. If you look at the diagram there, you can see, you're basically at North Street there is the top of my city. We weren't consulted at all in this. Fortunately, Paul brought it to my attention that this was going in. residential community is zoned that way specifically, so we don't have things like this within residential communities. The agricultural zoning of that property, how it managed to maintain that through the sales over the last decade, I don't know. I don't know how you, how all of that works, but that's agricultural ground set well within the boundaries of a residential community. Not to mention the community building up to the north of that, a very high-end residential community as well. Nobody bought those properties expecting to have towers erected in their backyard. The towers that they referenced at the Tower Farm have been in existence ever since I can remember. I'm 45 years old, lived here my entire life within the corporate boundaries of Panorama Park, and they've always been there. The city, the housing that is around those grew up around them. They didn't put towers into a residential community. And if that tower had been there and this community grew up around it, that's one thing. Everybody knew what they were getting. But the city of Panorama Park is opposed to the tower being right there as well as me personally not wanting to have it. I live on Short Street, right on the corner of Short and Park Avenue, and that is what I will look at every day when I walk out my front door. And I don't want it there. As a, also, because where appraisal-wise, it may not actually affect property values. Everybody knows from the people you can see sitting here that it affects the saleability of a home as well. Because when someone goes to buy a home, a tower across the street is not what they're looking for. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I would just like to, this is probably a good time to mention that as we were looking at this, I confirmed with staff that the property that we're looking at, while zoned agricultural, is actually in the comprehensive land use plan as residential property going forward in the city of Bettendorf. So that is the perceived ongoing purpose of that land.
Right. Yeah, I assumed when title transferred at the time of Mr. Larson's passing it to the church and then the church selling it to these folks, or however that all happened, I assumed that it would have transferred that agricultural to a residential somewhere in that process, but that obviously didn't happen since these folks have cows in their backyard now, too. So.
That is a distinct and separate process to rezone properties.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I live at 3620 Park Avenue. My name is Amy DeLabruere, and our house is the closest house to the tower. I live right next door to Paul, and so those views that he shared with us would be my views as well. As far as looking out my kitchen window when I wash the dishes or being out in my yard, the tree line between my property and the tower is thin, and so I can see through those trees onto that property probably 85% of the year, except when they're really green in the summer. And it just struck me that I don't suppose anyone here would really like to have a tower like that just outside the boundaries of their backyard. And my husband and I are not crazy about this idea, and I can't help but wonder if there isn't a better place for this tower. I'm not an expert on these things, but it just seems like it doesn't belong, and I just wanted to express that we're not very happy about it. Thank you. Yeah.
If I may, also the market that they're hitting for the type of radio station that is going that they're going to be broadcasting really doesn't seem to be hitting a large enough audience to justify the distraction of it being in this residential community as well. Thank you.
Speaking of the range that it hits, I'm talking about the target market of this. The target market isn't large enough to justify the distraction to the residents that it sits around.
Go ahead, sir. State your name and address.
I'm Adam Seitz, and I live at 5050 Auburn Avenue in Windham Hills. If we could go back to a full overview of even further back, if we could. There you go. So if you look at those two properties that are agricultural right now, that are farmland, one thing that the city of Bettendorf has always been very, very good at is residential communities. Development is probably the biggest driver of tax base for the city. And if you think about it, you're putting a deterrent from a developer to build on those two properties. So, you know, one thing that the community has always been very good about is putting up residential communities. And we're putting an eyesore out there that deters people from purchasing in those neighborhoods. So, you know, there's a lot of future tax base there that's not even represented that is going to be in that vacant ground there at some point. So I want that to be a consideration as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
Anything new to say?
My name is Jean Mattson, and I live at 5420 Clemens Road, and my I shouldn't say objections, I have questions, and they're not cosmetic, because I live at the end of Clemens Road, and we live on a private road, and we maintain that road. It's not maintained by the city of Bettendorf. And I guess my first question is, I don't have cable TV just because I can't watch the 18 stations I get on antenna TV, and I want to know if there's going to be any interference with my reception with that tower. Maybe Brian, you can answer that.
Yeah.
And if you say no and there is, then what?
You're not getting interference on any of the FM 96.1s or any of the big stations out there. You're not going to get it from a 250 watt station.
So you don't think antenna TV will be affected by that?
TV won't be affected.
Okay.
It's a totally different way.
And if you say no and it is and it gets erected, then what?
Yeah.
Does your television station pay for cable for me or what? Okay. And then the second thing is, because we live on a private road, it's a gravel road, and we maintain that road, and there are about eight of us maybe that live on that road, and if you're talking about erecting a tower, and the city of Bettendorf is requiring that farmhouse be removed, there's our road is the access road, and we shouldn't have to be responsible for upkeeping that road, because there's going to be ruts if there's some big equipment coming in. Musco will bring some big equipment, and I don't know who's going to tear the house. If the city of Bettendorf is requiring that, then we should not be responsible for having to maintain our road. So maybe somebody from the city can answer that.
It's part of a community that we do have towers. I mean, towers are part of life here, especially when the cell towers are really big. And there is towers in my neighborhood too. I want to look at something. Make it as thin as possible as the element in the sky. And I am sensitive to that, and that's why we've gone down this road. Like I said, we're, you know, if you say, you know what, 150 feet
too far up there? No, I could drop down to 130, 135, you know, somewhere in there. That could be minimal for us, on the minimum range. Just to try to, you know, get along with the neighborhood a little bit better, just to make a less ice to work, if that's what, you know, needs to happen. But it is sort of, it's a tower of our reality, and I want to make the best tower I can for given the situation, and try to serve the community well.
Basically, I just want to go on record to say that, you know, if our road gets ruined, somebody besides us should be responsible for that.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. If there was some harm done to that during construction phase, maybe, right? You can do some harm. There'll be reparations in that road. You put new gravel in there or whatever needs to happen for that patch. And, you know, it is wet in May, so we might have to get a concrete pumper to pump it remotely from the street over to there. It is just one load of concrete that sets that you're moving that tower picture up to
notice the truck that's going to drill the hole.
It's just pretty small. It's really a clip. The Busco says it one day, most installations. They'll come in, they drill this auger. It's about 2.5 feet auger. Very simply, it just drills it down, comes up, it places the tower, shores it up, and then puts a little concrete around it. I mean, Musco is a flying company. They know what they're doing, and it goes in so quick. And it's very well engineered to hold that load. And it kind of shows the depiction of how it goes. Michael put the one that's been down for it, and it's shocking enough. It was like, wow, really? Very nicely engineered system.
Thank you, everyone. I think we've heard enough from everyone at this point. Is there any questions from the board? I'd just like to say that when I was on the council, we had an ordinance passed that, you know, all these towers were supposed to go in agriculture, and I didn't remember the agriculture. Was that part of it, Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, but it was commercial or industrial or city-owned property. I didn't remember the agricultural part. So, anyway. It's up to the board. Does anyone have any questions here?
I do.
Okay.
Regarding her issue about the maintenance of the private road, where would that be taken care of? Was that between the two parties, or does the city get involved with that? Is that another board?
No, it's a private road.
It's a private road. Yeah. I don't believe the city.
Yeah, it'd be a private agreement.
So he's
private
agreement involved. So that has nothing to really to do with... with us. I mean,
we would have no authority to make some kind of an agreement to that.
They would have to enter into that agreement themselves as private individuals. They have control over the road. They have to maintain the road. So.
There's easement access of some sort because you can't cut off access to the property back there. So there's some sort of easement.
There may even be a road agreement. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What that agreement is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything, Dave?
No, I have nothing.
Is there any more to be added other than, you know, what we've heard?
I have one quick question.
I think she has a question.
Church is backing this repeater or tower. Once this radio broadcasting becomes non-viable and they don't have any donations to support this anymore, what becomes of the tower?
It'll be leased. I'm sure that there's an interest for the property owner to remove it.
You got a question?
Is that no guarantee? No written contract?
Lease. It'll be the lease that says upon dissolution of the lease, you will remove the tower. That's just plainly
acceptable.
We have a question here from Bryce. What?
Get control.
Well, I guess I have a couple of questions and a couple of comments for discussion for you guys, too.
Okay.
First question is, what on this list? There are several things that we really, as a part of this board, we don't have it's not part of our purview. We're here to decide certain elements of this and give the permit. Special use permit, it still needs to go through planning and zoning?
That's a good point. This is one of three steps that would be required before anything could happen here. What they're requesting tonight is for the use, strictly the use. Could a radio broadcast tower go up? If that is approved, then their next step would be to go before the Planning and Zoning Commission for a site plan. And the site plan has many of those things that will be reviewed that are also talked about here tonight. Once they receive either a recommendation for approval or a recommendation for denial from Planning and Zoning, then the site plan goes to City Council. So yes, you're right.
So it's going to go before three boards?
Correct.
All three of which have to approve it.
And all three will have public hearings.
Correct. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess I do have a couple of comments. There was a comment regarding deterring future development in this area, this tower. And I look around right along Devil's Glen Road. We've got a couple of huge towers right there along Devil's Glen Road, and that stopped very few people and the tower farm from developing, almost right up as close as they can to those towers. The one by Crow Creek and the one on Devil's Glen Road and 53rd, there's houses all the way around them, almost all the way around them. And these are homes that are, you know, what would you say, 300,000?
No, I think we might even have it for you.
Could I comment to that?
But those,
that's fine. I just wanted to bring this up for discussion.
Those towers were there before the homes were built, though.
That's true.
We built all those subdivisions that you're speaking of, and those were the last lots to go. I can promise you it was 100% of
them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you have one last comment, ma'am?
Yes, my name's Tammy Gill, and I reside at 3655 Park Avenue. I did not receive a letter, so I'm not really up to date, but I live across from Paul and Amy, who are directly, it's going to butt up against their property. So that means I'm going to look at that every day. And I've got a little bit of insight with that because 2 years ago, you allowed a small ham operator to erect a tower on his property, which is behind me. So every day when I look out my kitchen window, I see a tower. It's no fun looking at that tower. Now I'm going to look out of my living room window and I'm going to see another tower. If you had a choice of purchasing a home, would you buy a home where you got a tower on both sides of you? I can tell you, I don't know if this is a fact or not, but I had an analog television, and I can't promise that it had anything to do with Mr. Huff, but I did have trouble. I did have to have a booster put in, amplifier put into my home so that I could watch television on my analog televisions. So, like I said, I can't prove that has anything to do with his ham operation, mm-hmm. but there's a possibility that there is. But one thing I can say, it is definitely a detriment to the neighborhood. This is not the place for a tower.
Bill, is there different regulations, or John, between a ham radio tower and a commercial radio tower like this, as far
it,
as
it makes distinctions in the code for them, yes.
It does make different distinctions.
Yes, but they, too, had to go through special use permits.
Okay. Sir, I think we're going to call the question up here. So I think we've heard everything we need to.
Just one quick question. What prevents this from additional towers coming once you open up the door for this? That's my real question here is, once you have one, the others will come.
That's possible.
And my backyard faces that. I look out my back door, I'll be able to see that plain as day.
Okay. And what's your name and address, please?
Mike Mueller, 5217 Auburn Court.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there a motion up here or any other questions?
Just one last question. Part of this deal, just to clarify, the house is coming down.
Keep referring to a house. I didn't think it was a house.
That's the original farmhouse.
Is that what it is? Okay. That structure is coming down.
Yeah, very bad shape.
Yes, that structure is coming down. If it's a house, yes.
Is there a motion from anyone here?
I don't, this isn't a motion, but I feel for the situation. I would not be, want to be the house that's next to it, but I am in a quandary over telling people what they can and can't do on their property to a certain extent. If they're following the regulations and the procedures and the codes that are on the books. So I guess that's my quandary.
Okay. Well, I would say I agree with you on that, and I appreciate that very much. However, when you look at the big picture here, which is what I'm trying to do with my perspective on it, is that there's one purpose being served here as against a purpose that, you know, and Mr. Seitz made a very valid comment about the developability and the use of that other land out there. That other land will be definitely impaired. The saleability of it or lots will definitely be impaired, and so the city will suffer, these residents will suffer. It's hard to balance, you know, what the, you know, and the intention of this land and the new plan, which we, you know, which you just got on your desk, is that this land will be developed as residential land. So it will definitely be an anomaly when that comes to be. So I think that's the other shoe in that pair.
And have you any other options, really? Are you going to just keep, if this were to be denied, are you going to keep looking, or are you?
We have a deadline of May 10th, and MCC for our construction permit expires then. If it doesn't go through the by then, you lose it, basically. You lose that frequency ability. MCC mm-hmm. gets it back, basically. We would lose financially if that happens. We need to go through transactions to get the frequency we have. Don't know the other options. After this meeting, we have to come together and say, well, what's the option? It may be none, or maybe it'd be north of the highway, right? We're not going to get much coverage.
Should I make a motion, or should I?
To deny it, maybe?
Deny it.
I'll make a motion. Okay.
Pauline, I'm just going to make a motion to deny it.
Well, in order to get it on the table, I'll make...
We're discussing it up here, please.
I'll make a motion that we deny the application it's not... consistent with the residential development and the surrounding areas.
There's been a motion to deny this 1601 at 5382 Clemens Road. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Been a motion to deny. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
No.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case number 16-001 at 5382 Clemens Road has been denied. Case 16-022 at 1717 Isle Parkway Drive, a C7 district, is a request for a variance to reduce the required setback for an on-premise identification sign from 100 feet to 1/2 foot submitted by Isla Capri. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the site is the Isle of Capri, believe we're all aware where it is. This is City Hall right here, the George.
We'll wait a minute, please.
The George Thenan Bridge going over the railroad tracks, River's Edge Edition, and of course the Isle of Capri property. They currently have a sign at the foot of George Thenan Bridge. The sign basically is a welcome into the entire facility. Current sign is 96 square feet. It's 12 feet high and 9 feet wide. The new sign, if allowed, will be slightly higher, approximately 15 feet high. The main portion of the sign, that being the round portion that you're seeing displayed on top, is approximately 96 square feet. However, the overall, when you take into account the base and everything, it will be considerably larger than what the current sign is. What you're seeing highlighted in yellow is the aisle property. What is not highlighted is city property. So as you can see, it is strictly the paved portions of the roadway that is not aisle property. This being where the sign is currently located, and they would like to relocate the new structure. And the reason for that is they're building a new casino. They're going from floating casino to a land-based casino, and they're changing their branding. So they're just going to be called the Isle from this point on. The front setback in the C7 district is 100 feet. The rear setback is 50 feet. This strip of land right here between the paved portion of Isle Parkway and the recreational trail is approximately 37 feet wide. There's no way they could meet any setback whatsoever. And I wear two hats here tonight. Not only do I represent you as city planner, but I'm also the flood zone administrator. The city just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars getting our flood control levy recertified in 2011. As part of that recertification, we have to ensure that it is maintained and that no penetrations are allowed onto that levy. To have them move this sign farther back away from Isle Parkway means that that begins to encroach up onto the levee. And this sign will have a significant footing underneath it, which will require quite a bit of excavation. We don't want it on the levee. It's been at its current location ever since the aisle opened. It's had no detrimental effect on anybody before, and by putting the new sign in exactly the same place, I don't think it's going to have any detrimental effect in the future, and we just don't want this moved back up onto the flood control levee. As such, combining all those things, I think they have demonstrated a hardship for the replacement of the sign. I think that summarizes the case. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? We want to go to the podium, sir, and state your name and address.
Make it short. You got to give him a chance.
Doug Jarvis, 1504 West 4th Street, Davenport. I'm kind of the tail of the dog. Isle of Capri hired somebody to install new signage or build and install new signage, and I'm the person that's locally that our company is going to install it. And they have a lot of other signage that's on property that doesn't interfere, doesn't need permits from the city or anything else. They're getting rid of the ugly parrot on top of the hotel and coming up with a new sign for that is approved by the board that had a variance before. And they think this is more attractive, and it's right at the entrance, and everybody that goes over the bridge basically is going to the casino anyway in the hotels. Mm-hmm. You have any questions, or
anybody have any questions here?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah, no. I, you know, clearly this is a situation where we cannot move it away from the street and get into the levee.
Yeah.
They own the entire piece of property.
It's a very special case.
It's a special case. It's certainly not setting any precedent. I guess I'd make a motion that we approve the request.
Is there a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, please, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case number 16-0002 at 1717 Parkway Drive, a C7 district, has been approved.
And final comment, I live about 100 feet away from railroad tracks, but I wish we could do something to get rid of the Canadian geese. Thank you very much. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
We have three more items on the agenda, but they were deferred until the March meeting. Thank
you, John. That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.